Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
Right, good morning, everybody. Welcome in. Miller and Condon here on a Thursday, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 on the FM dial. Is Trent Condon and Ken Miller, and we're here to talk sports with you for the next couple of hours and appreciate you spending some of your morning here with us. BMW of Des Moines guest list looks like this. In his normal spot on Thursday, Stephen M. Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star will catch up with those Huskers as they hit the bye week, right? Yes, they're on their bye this week.
They are.
Coming off yet another deflating loss. But we'll get Sip in here, kind of the state of the program at the at their bye, and pick his brain on some teams that, that he has seen in person that I will see here in the waning few weeks. An awful sentence.
I don't know why you got to always bring it up.
The college.
Why?
Footballs.
Why? Knock it off.
I know. It's just brutal, right?
Well, you keep bringing it up.
That's what makes it brutal. Blink, and it's December. Anyway, Sipple first, then Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. He's got a handful of games to opine on. Look forward to that spot with Lee at 11:05. We're going to switch things up. We're going to do Big Four basketball with our friend Kevin Lehman, who does he's an analyst throughout this season, does a lot of games, crosses over conferences. He was at Big 12 Media Days yesterday, I'm assuming Valley Media Days earlier in the week for Kevin. But nonetheless, want to get his take on Iowa, Iowa State, you and I, and the state's highest-ranked team preseason-wise, those Drake Bulldogs. So Kevin Lehman will be here at 11:05, and I'm really looking forward to it, transitioning a little bit here to college basketball, and then Bill Bender back to football, the college variety from the sporting news. NFL returns tonight. If you're playing the game, make sure you are up to speed on the injury report, because there's a bunch of guys out on both teams. Number is dropped. Total has dropped, from 44.5 to 41.5, I think, at circa. It's had a significant drop. But beware if indeed you're going to play that game. Speaking of playing that game, did you see LSU has signed with a sports, I believe it's Caesars?
Yes, I saw that.
I mean, come on, think of where we were a decade ago.
Right.
To where we are now with everybody jumping on board this thing. Look, you may as well.
Absolutely.
It's here to stay.
It's a part of it. I saw Connecticut flip the switch this week. They are now alive. I'm sure everybody that works at ESPN is very pleased about that.
The Daily Racing Form, which is the Bible in horse racing, is now in the state of Iowa with sports wagering.
Wow.
Middle of November, DRF Sports comes to the state. So it's not like, I mean, seemingly there's a new one every week.
It feels that way.
But they're not staying away. Mm-hmm. They're not staying away. But yeah, LSU, the first Power 5 team to come to an agreement with a sports wagering company, in this case, Caesars. So who will be first in our state? Will there be one in our state that says, yeah, you know what? We'll take the advertising dollars.
Well, already listening, obviously, to Hawkeye Games at WHO and the Learfield Network, they advertise all the time for Riverside. It's a casino. So they talk about going golfing and everything, but come on. Mm-hmm. You know the reason that you're going to Riverside. And though the golf course is very nice, ultimately, it's about the casino. So you're already there. You're already playing that dance. What's another step, right?
No,
at this point,
I agree with you.
Remember the hubbub about when they were doing the alcohol, the beer? I think it was Budweiser had a deal with Learfield and the University of Iowa. And there was all this back and forth and the professors
just advertising.
And one of them said, well, can't we at least get some good beer? Yeah, made that
nice
joke. You know, as they're going back and forth, as the emails, as they always do, became public with the conversation that was happening there. And that was a big deal to a lot of people. You're advertising alcohol during a college event. Now you can drink alcohol inside a Kinnick Stadium.
Right.
And now,
legally.
You can legally.
You have to sneak it in.
Right. Because I'll tell you, that was not my first beer against Indiana inside a Kinnick.
Guessing that's
the case.
That's
not the first time I enjoyed a cocktail
right
inside a Kinnick Stadium But first time I did it legally and didn't have to keep it confined and underneath or slug one in the bathroom.
No, just went and got in line, paid your money,
and away you go.
And had one. Well, now it's gambling, and it's here. Sports wagering is here. So if you're playing tonight, and again, and I want to put this disclaimer out too, if you think you have a problem, and this is legit, this is absolutely legit, because some people will, and that's the... obviously, the dark side of all of this is reach out. 1-800-BETS-OFF. It's been around forever. I remember when Prairie Meadows opened in 1989. It was a big talker back then in all the racing programs, back as far as, you know, since gambling really came to the States. So, anyways, if you do have a problem, 1-800-BETS-OFF. But
And it's important. It really is, because we joke about my degenerate lifestyle that I lead.
What's your tax, you call it?
Yes, my entertainment tax.
Right.
And that's what it is. Watching NBA last night and betting NBA. I don't know crap about the NBA in general, you know, compared to actual bettors that do it for a living, but a little more juice. But I bet $5 or $10 a game. I'm not a big player, and I enjoy it just as much. Back when I did bet more money, I hated it. I didn't like that feeling, even when the relief came and the excitement of winning a bet. Just, yeah, but you know what's around the corner. When you do it in this fashion, you can eke out a little bit, which I'm doing this season, that's great. And if you lose a little bit, that's okay. But you know what? My mortgage is going to be okay.
Absolutely.
My car payment's going to be there.
Kids are going to have clothes on their back.
And that's not everybody.
Food on their table.
And I understand that's not everybody. Yeah, everybody can't bet that way and still get the same kind of enjoyment that I can when I hit a $5 parlay for $40. All right, here we go. That doesn't do it for everybody either. You're right. 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Baseball last night, Trent. Look, you got to give these Braves credit, right?
Yeah.
Give this Braves organization a ton of credit. Last night was a bullpen night, and they got through it unscathed. You brought him up yesterday, and to help me out with his name, for Alex Anthopoulos.
Yes.
That's as close as I can get.
Anthopoulos. Good Greek man.
And he's a good GM, too.
Yes,
and
he was good
in Toronto. Yeah, he made a couple of blunders, but everybody does.
That's a tough division when you're going up against those heavy hits.
That's a great point.
When the Red Sox spend in their fashion, the Yankees spend, and then you got Tampa that does it a different way, but is really good every single year.
No doubt. But for this guy to rebuild his outfield the way he did at the trade deadline, and look at the impact that they're having. Trent, the entire outfield yesterday had a major, major say in this baseball game. Rosario, Duval, Jock Peterson. By the way, Jock Peterson, what's he wearing around his neck? Those are pearls that my sisters would wear in playing dress up with my mom's shoes.
There's something with his mom, because
there has to be.
It was a couple of games ago, and I remember they cut to, and now more and more Braves.
Was that his mom behind home plate?
I think that's what it was. I remember I didn't catch the whole story of it, but I think there was a piece something with his mom, and I don't know if it's just something going back, if there's an illness. I don't know what exactly the full story is. But it's something with his mom. And
I figured it had to be luck or something.
Right, yeah. Talk about a different look. We're used to the gold chains out there and you know, Mookie carrying around that big old gold chain that he has. Pearls?
Just different. That's all just different.
Yes.
Reminding me of my sister's playing dress up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Getting into mom's jewelry and whatever.
But Anthopoulos going out and doing that. And I thought Matt Snyder on Tuesday with us brought up a really good point. The Braves at that point, Acuna's done.
Yeah.
It's over.
One of the best players in baseball.
All right, we might win the division. We got to fight the Phillies and the Mets, blah, blah, blah.
Well, good news is the Mets are in the division.
Right, yeah.
They're going to collapse.
Yeah, they'll find a way to lose because that's what the Mets do. But we're not going to win this thing. And he said, no. I'm not going to just go out
and waving the flag
and make a move to make a move. I'm going to make three moves.
Yeah. And four, he brought over Soler.
Yes, to solidify what we have. And maybe one of them doesn't work out. That was Soler. But Eddie Rosario, when he is hot, and watched him
yesterday,
playing a lot of games throughout the years with the Minnesota Twins.
So why didn't it work in Cleveland?
Is those stretches? I don't even know if it didn't work. Cleveland wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
They were looking for anything that they could get in return for him.
Mm-hmm.
But when Eddie Rosario is right, and we're seeing it here this series, he can play at the highest of high levels. He can do that for a week or two stretch. It's just the kind of guy he is. Now, when he's bad, he's about as bad as anybody in baseball, and he just looks brutal up there. He is a very free-swinging guy, doesn't take walks, doesn't take many pitches, but when he's locked in like he is, and certainly was last night, he is as talented of a guy as you're going to find. He has that kind of talent, and at the walk-off game winner a couple games ago, he continues to roll here. So is it over? Are you throwing dirt on the Dodgers now?
Well, here's the thing, Trent. Obviously, they have to win tonight. They're down 3-1. Mm-hmm. But if they win tonight, Scherzer 6, Bueller 7.
You couldn't draw it up much better, right?
You couldn't. But this is a bullpen game for them tonight. It was a bullpen game for the Braves last night, and it went their way.
It did. So the Dodgers last night, who do they all use out of the pen looking forward to here?
Gonsolin, Pickford are the two that I remember after Urias.
And Brühl.
Okay. Yeah, I do remember him now that you mention it.
So Gonsolin was terrible.
Mm-hmm. Brühl's the lefty, right?
Yeah. He's available.
Lefty, correct.
He only got an out to end the inning. To end the seventh, I guess that was. So Gonsolin's out. Bickford, excuse me.
No, he can't come back. That's two nights in a row for him.
Two in a row. Yeah. And he threw one and two thirds. He threw how many pitches? Threw 21, maybe at the end.
Yeah.
But everybody else is there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're ready to go, right? You got it. Now, the problem is you're going up against Max Fried, who over the last 3 months has been the best pitcher in baseball. Max Fried's a nice pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Not a guy you think about, though, the best pitcher over a three-month stretch. That's what he
has
been.
No, you wouldn't. You'd guess a lot of guys' names before you got to him.
20? 30? Maybe 40 easily. Names that I get to before Max Fried would come up.
Yeah.
Yet that's how good he was basically since July to where we are right now. So you put that together. But if it doesn't happen, and that pressure, and the collapses of Atlanta sports in general. Remember where you're going back to. And to think that doesn't matter. Think of those Red Sox teams, the good ones before they finally broke through. And it always felt like watching those games and just hearing the crowd, there was that inevitability that we are going to find a way not to win it, to lose it.
Well, 86.
And that negative energy
that's where it comes from, Trent. It's all going back to 86.
And it seeps through. And it seeps through in Atlanta. 28-3. Right?
Yeah.
28-3 is still a big part of Atlanta sports. Mm-hmm. All those division championships in the 90s and into the 2000s.
28-3.
And that's going to be there too. Get it done tonight, Braves. That's all I say.
I'm with you, although they do have a little bit of cushion, you know, in Game 6. But if it gets to Game 7, boy, look out below. Look out below. Well, meanwhile, in the American League, he was entertaining. I was into both of them yesterday. I thought they were both blowouts. Mm-hmm. But I'd like to see. I really don't have an opinion in the America. I don't particularly care for the Red Sox. Houston, you know, they didn't have to cheat. That's the crazy part about this.
Right.
I don't believe that this team needed to cheat. It's like Bonds when he was in his heyday. He didn't need to cheat. You're a 5-tool player. You wouldn't have had the numbers maybe, but your bust would be in Canton. Cooperstown. But they did, and they got caught. So I don't know. It's I'd rather see the Astros. I think the Astros are a better team. And for that reason, I want them to prevail.
And with what you said there about this team, how talented they are, and obviously the negativity that continues to surround them, a championship for them would mean so much. It would. It would validate.
Yes, that's a good point.
That we actually did this without having to cheat, that we got to this point. Now, of course, there's going to be naysayers. There's going to be people, what are they doing now? You know that's going
well,
to be
out there. Did you see the cheating, not cheating, but the moment terror, the moments in the game last night when we thought the Red Sox were cheating last night with the light in the outfield?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yes.
Yeah. And then Twitter saw the light?
Yeah, yeah.
And what's this mean? I guess there was an explanation for it, but I thought, oh, my God, here we go again. And if all teams, it's these two teams who actually got busted and didn't learn their lesson. You're right. It would validate it. If the Astros were to get there and were to prevail, it would validate it. But, man, oh, man. Do you have a rooting interest now?
No. No, I just don't like either team. Just want to watch baseball.
Of the four that are left, do you have a...
No, I don't like any of these teams. Yeah. I really don't. Probably the most likable. I think the Dodgers are actually a likable group. They just spend so much.
Yeah, and now Turner's out for the year.
Right.
With that hamstring.
It's hard to... With any of them. The Braves were just... They were so good. Mm-hmm. Just annoying. And they're still bitching about 91. Kent Herbeck and Ron Gant. Yeah. Get over it.
Yeah, really.
Get over it. Yeah. No, I just don't have a rooting interest with any of them. I guess Freddie Freeman, he's an easy guy to root for. He might be the one, but I'm just watching baseball and rooting for my bets. That's kind of the way that I've been watching these playoffs. The rooting interest part of it, it hasn't seeped in. It's hard with these group of teams.
I haven't bet a dollar on the playoffs at all. I bet the Brewers to win it, but that was in September.
Yeah.
But other than that, I haven't bet on it. I guess I'm rooting for the Braves.
Yeah, well, and tonight I'm rooting for the Dodgers because we've talked about how rough Saturday is college football-wise in general.
Oh, so we need to prolong this thing.
We need to get two games. We need to get a Game 7 and the Astros-Red Sox, when that would be, and we need a Dodgers-Braves Game 6 is what that would be.
Here's your Sunday night, or your Saturday night viewing, folks. We've been harping on this all week long, so be prepared. I mean, the best game of the night? What's the best game of the night?
Of the night, of the 6:30
USC window. Notre Dame?
You want to watch that?
No, I'm going to watch West Virginia TCU, and I really don't want to. But Ohio State still has to play them, so I guess that's where I'll be.
NC State at Miami?
Yeah, decent. It's a tight number. NC State, you've got a total on them, mm-hmm. do you not?
Yep.
6.5?
Six, flat six.
And what, they got 5 now?
They do. One away from getting...
South Carolina will get pasted by A&M. Utah, I like the Utah. Maybe Utah, Oregon, but that's Pac-12 Network.
That's Pac-12 Network, so cross that one off the list unless you're looking for illegal spots. It's a bad night.
It's a bad night. Tennessee, Alabama?
San Diego State Air Force. I got an opinion on that game.
All right.
CBS Sports Network. I got a lot of CBS Sports Network.
Yeah, you found one early in the day on CBS Sports Network.
5 o'clock on Friday.
But Wake Forest Army's
That's CBS their 11 Sports. O'clock game, yeah. And maybe the best game of the early window is that one.
Trent, the best game of the day is in Ames, Iowa.
Yeah, not at all.
The 8th-ranked Oklahoma State Cowboys, 8th-ranked, are getting a touchdown.
So, with that, into this game, I came in Monday, told you right away, Iowa State's going to kill Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. I have not been impressed by Oklahoma State. Well, I understand they're undefeated.
The defense is good.
They can run the ball. Warren can run the football. He stinks.
Well, you've got to make him throw it.
Yeah.
You've got to make him throw the football. Because he can beat you with his legs.
He can. And the running back, the transfer, has been really good for them. But overall, it doesn't feel like a great Oklahoma State team.
And yet here they are unbeaten.
So, Iowa State...
Who's more of a pretend... Michigan State or Oklahoma State?
Oh, Oklahoma State, I'd say. Now, Michigan State, it's still hard to tell. You know, that Miami win that we got excited about?
Yeah, Miami not very good.
They're not very good. Right. Michigan State's going to certainly get an opportunity.
Who did they struggle with? Was it Northwestern?
Well, in Indiana last week.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Another game where Michigan State did nothing in the second half. And the other team could take advantage, just like the Nebraska game for Michigan State. So I started thinking a little more and digging a little deeper. And there's a lot of the check marks that you put here. Basically, anything on paper, anything analytically, you look like Iowa State's a lot better than Oklahoma State. They get them at home, kind of all these things. But go back to week 2 for Iowa State. Well, this is the year.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year they're going to beat Iowa.
And yep.
Same thing here. This is the year they're going to beat Oklahoma State. Gundy's had Campbell's number, just like Ferentz has had Campbell. This is the year. It's a team built pretty similar to Iowa. Not a great offense, but a really good defense. Can slow things down. I think more than anything... We saw it last week against Kansas State. Getting off to a good start is paramount here.
Yeah, you don't have to score on your first play.
You're right, yeah. Now, it'd be nice.
Right.
I mean, Breece Hall wants to go 75 yards again and jump out 7-0. We'll take it, but... So I got that. And then you said last week, we still don't know with Iowa State. Beating you and I, UNLV, Kansas. And I think you got to throw Kansas State into the mix. How about this? Of course, Kansas State doesn't have a conference win this year. They have now lost 8 consecutive.
Yeah, it surprised me.
Conference games.
Yeah, you said that earlier. I was surprised by that. I never would have guessed that. And here's the worst part about it. Chris Klieman, what are you doing? Asking the media for help? Has it got that bad? We're not supposed to do that. Now, I know you probably, there were some ears in that room that perked up and kind of nodded, okay, we got your back, coach. But,
right, yeah.
But that's not supposed to be. That was embarrassing.
It was a bad look.
You're terrible.
He wanted more positivity, is what he said. Well, when we lost 8 straight games in conference, there's going to be negativity from the media. It's not our job. Our job is not to prop things up. It's not to all sunshine and rainbows, though. I know a lot of people want that. That's not what the job of the media is.
I get that when it's warranted. Well, absolutely. I mean, we're not negative Nellies all the time.
It's not negative to be negative. It's negative when we see negativity.
Right.
And when it's there,
but to ask the media for help.
That was bad. That was a bad look. So it kind of goes step in step with Iowa State.
So you're still not sold because you don't know about K-State.
The K-State win maybe wasn't as impressive. And you know how much I love Skylar Thompson. I mean, I have a poster in my room.
He's so tough, Trent.
He is. But the rest of that team, are they really good?
They've got a couple of guys on defense.
I still believe Iowa State's a lot better than Oklahoma State. But at least I had a lot more reservations here on a Thursday than I did on Monday when we came in. And I bet it was basically the only game early in the week that I bet was Iowa State all over the place. I got them on some...
Do you?
Oh, yeah. All over the place. They're involved in a couple of parlays. They're involved everywhere. Hmm. I laid the 7 because I knew it was going to go to 7.5 some places. It did at Circa, I saw. And I think most everybody has kind of responded with that. So I wanted to get it at that 7. More reservations. Still feel confident, but I understand why there might be people out there. And I've heard this from a couple of Cyclone fans this week saying, slow down. I know you love Iowa State this week, but... Mm-hmm. Gundy, weird things happen in this game.
Yeah.
There's concerns there, maybe more concerns than I thought earlier in the week.
I like Iowa State a lot this week. Bijan Robinson got his. I mean, he got, but he's a good back, so is Breece
Hall. In the first half.
Yeah, that's a good point. That was the difference. That's a good point.
Sark's gameplay in a second, I did not like. You got a guy like that.
Here's what I think when I look at Iowa State. I see Brock Purdy. That was the best game I've ever seen him play.
He's playing at a high level.
He really and truly is. Breece Hall's Breece Hall again.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
Charlie Kohler, who missed week one, he's Charlie Kohler again.
Yep.
Throw in that Hutchinson. Noel, looks like they got something there in this kid.
We were looking for a number two wide receiver.
All season long, that's been one of the talkers every Monday.
And not only that, but now Sean Shaw is back.
It looks like it.
And he is impactful.
Boy, he made hell of a... That touchdown was a hell of... A, was a hell of a throw, but B, it was quite a dance on the sidelines to stay in bounds.
He's healthy with his size and his ability in the red zone. That changes things for this offense.
Offensive line looks like they're getting better.
And how about, back to the first half, just getting off to a good start... Yeah. Even go back to the UNLV game. They got off to a terrible start in that game. They were shooting themselves in the foot against
Trent,
a bad team.
It didn't show up on TV until, and I left the game and I parked myself at the Wynn.
Yeah.
I'll watch it here and it didn't come on. I think there was 3 minutes left in the first quarter, so I'll take your word for it.
But against a bad UNLV team, even that one, they got off to a slow start. So same thing as I kind of started this, get off to a good start here.
Mm-hmm.
There's something about Oklahoma State. I think if you can get them down, and because of their limitations,
the defense
in the
for Iowa
game,
State. I want to see what Haycock does in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and do that early.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
get to that a little earlier than you have, because you're really impressive in the final 30 minutes. I think they'll win the game, Trent. There's a reason that the top 10 team is getting 7 points.
Yes, it's a pretty good betting strategy if you see an unranked team laying points against a team that is ranked. More times than not, that is going to be a winning ticket for
and
him, even
it
a number
been
like this.
4 weeks since, or 3 or 4 weeks, 3 weeks, right? Since the crowd has been able to tailgate and participate.
Oh, that's right.
The Kansas game was the last week in September or the first week in October. Okay,
couple
so
weeks.
3 weeks.
Yeah,
3 weeks.
Had the bye week and then
had the bye and you went to trip. Right. So they're ready to go. They'll be in full throat.
What's the weather going to be like Saturday?
You know what? It's not going to be warm by any means.
I know you were chilly on your walk today. 59. 50 rain and 59 and some sprinkles on Saturday.
Rain, huh?
Yeah.
It's the best game of the day. I think it is. I think it's the marquee game of the day in college football. And here's the other thing. If game day wouldn't have come here in week two, because they're at the Rose Bowl, right?
They are, yep.
Where they'll go on the air at 6 a.m. In the dark. This had to get some looks, would it not? I mean,
has more national buzz though?
Well, that's the you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
It's still Oregon. Yeah. They're still in the playoff conversation,
and they're getting points. They're a dog.
They opened up as a 1 point favorite. Oregon did.
Now
UCLA's
flipped,
2.5.
Yeah,
1.5, 2.5, depending on where you're looking. So that national buzz still does matter here. If Iowa State had a number by their name, it'd be the only one of the week.
Right.
It is the end of October. And we don't have a ranked matchup this
great
week.
For us to be this late in the season and have this, look, we're all going to watch. There's going to be a phenomenal. I know what it's going to be like. I can't wait to talk to Bama on Monday at 11:05 because it was a crazy week in college football.
Happens
it's always the way it is, right?
Every single time. But buckle in, because after that, we get Michigan State next week.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one. We get Florida, Georgia.
Trent, you can just stay in the Big Ten East because Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State, they got a lot of games left against each other.
Ole Miss, Auburn, two ranked teams. Penn State, Ohio State's also that week. It's going to ramp up in a big way. So we'll get through this week. Something crazy will happen.
Yep.
There'll be talking points. There'll be stupid fans that'll do something dumb. It just, It's college football. Mm-hmm. The goofiness will jump out in a big-time way.
10:25, time for another $1,000 handoff. Sipple next, by the way. Text the keyword bag to 200-200 right now. It's your chance to win $1,000 bag to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
All right, bag to 200-200. Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Still to come this hour, we will transition to college basketball with a good look at the Big Four with Kevin Lehman, who will do Big 10, Big 12, Valley Games all winter long. He will join us at 11:05, and then Bill Bender from the Sporting News. We're Miller and Condon. We're on 1460 KXNO and 10.
Truly welcome. Get...
It's time for Sip. Stephen M. Sipple from the Lincoln Journal Star talks with myself and Ken on Nebraska football.
I mean, I have a radio show. We have callers. I pay attention to my Twitter notifications and all that. There's definitely some frustration.
We talk Cornhuskers, and you never know what else is going to come up. With 30 years on the Nebraska beat, here's Stephen M. Sipple.
As long as they're paying me to talk, I'm just going to keep doing it.
All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Stephen M. Sipple, our friend from the Lincoln Journal Star, also does mornings over in Lincoln. Hello on radio. Hello, Stephen M. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Thanks for popping on with us here, Sip, on the bye week. Well, look, Nebraska managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory seemingly again every time. And you've seen this movie a bunch this year, Sip. It's remarkable the losses, the close one-score losses that have incurred under Frost's leadership. It has to be getting old and wearing thin over in Nebraska.
Yeah, it is. It's frustrating. It's deflating. I mean, I got a pretty good sense of it last week because I had to stay back. I couldn't go to the game. We had a funeral in the family.
Gotcha.
That's not the point. Gotcha. The point is I watched the game with fans, because of circumstances, and I got a better sense of how deflating it is. It's an interesting psychology, though, that we're talking about, guys. It's not, I mean, there's not a pitchfork crowd here. You know, it's not, people, I wouldn't say, are angry. They're deflated, kind of worn out, like you said. But it's not, there's a distinction to be made there. There's not, I don't think fans are even resigned. It's just getting old. But I don't think it's reached a point where people are just throwing up their arms and saying, okay, time to make a change. I don't hear a lot of that.
Just going down the road and continuing at this point. Injuries piling up. Adrian Martinez, he's banged up. Now, a bye week this week certainly would help with Purdue on the horizon. That game looks a little more difficult than we thought it would be. And it's not like Nebraska hasn't struggled themselves against Purdue throughout the year. So, it's a bye week. With the bye week here, 3-5 is the record. Your record, you are what your record says you are, Bill Parcells said. What is this week about? Developmentally for this program and looking forward to the rest of the year, what is Nebraska doing?
Well, you know, because they played week zero and the allotment of practices allowed, they only practiced twice. Mm. So they practiced Tuesday and Wednesday. That's it. Now they got the rest of the week off. They'll bring the players back. Now, Scott talked yesterday in his only media appearance. The only media appearance for anybody was yesterday, and Scott was pretty good. I mean, Scott Frost, the head coach, he was pretty illuminating. The coaches recruit Trent. The coaches go out on recruiting, and it's the first time that the Nebraska staff has been on the road in 620 days, isn't that something?
It really
because
is.
Of COVID. Yeah, 600 plus days. They were not, you know, they weren't out on the road. Now they are in mass this week. So the coaches recruit. The players have most of the week off. They'll bring them back a little earlier, although Frost was indefinite as to when to get ready for Purdue. I imagine Sunday, maybe Saturday, but probably Sunday is when everybody will reconvene and get ready for what you characterized correctly, I would say a 50-50 game against Purdue.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, they sure impressed the heck out of us, and you know, not that they need our help, but if you get an opportunity, pass along, maybe cover Bell.
Yeah, watch them catch 11 passes for 240. I did watch the game, and yeah, they're real. That was there was nothing flukish about that win Purdue put on Iowa. I thought they were impressive.
Well, the good news is I mean, secondary wise, Nebraska's got some dudes, right? I mean, Taylor Britt is a terrific corner. I think he's got a really good chance. We're going to see that. That seemingly will be the matchup. So we'll do that next week, Sip. I'll get into that a little bit more. But I want to pick your brain on what you've seen so far and just how you see the Big Ten West from your outpost over in Lincoln. Look, we thought Iowa was, you know, the consolation, if they didn't get to a playoff, was going to be, they're going to get to the Rose Bowl. Pretty good landing spot. Now, not so sure, because the offense, which has been, the defense covers up a lot of warts, right? And the offense, they're just not running the football, they got exposed last week. So from your perspective, when you look at the West, kind of handicap it for us.
Well, it's difficult to. I still think Iowa would be the front runner. You'd have a hard time convincing me otherwise, if only because of schedule. I get the Wisconsin game will be tough. I still like Iowa to win the West. Purdue and Minnesota, you can't ignore because of schedule. Mm-hmm. Look at Minnesota's next three games. It's Northwest, not in this order, but it's Northwestern and Illinois and Maryland, okay? Now, how could you rule Minnesota out with that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't. I don't think you can rule out Purdue, although I believe their schedule gets pretty tough. If I'm really getting down to it, I like Iowa. I would give Minnesota a chance, and those are the top two in my mind.
Speaking of the Gophers, now I'm disappointed that we don't get officially the $5 Bits of Broken Chair trophy that continues back in the faux Pelini days of Twitter and how much fun that was. I know it's still an unofficial trophy, but it's not the same. But just that matchup with Minnesota and afterwards, Fleck going after Nebraska a little bit with his comments talking about culture. And their culture, our culture versus their skill. I know Scott Frost responded to that, but your takeaway, two young coaches, and I'm here for it. Let those two guys holler at each other a little bit.
Yeah, they go after each other. I mean, PJ's comments were probably in response to something Frost said back in July at Big Ten Media Days, where he said he doesn't get into sloganeering. And everybody interpreted that as a shot at PJ Fleck. He used the word sloganeering, and it was clearly in the context of the conversation. It was a shot. And Frost has done that a couple times. And, you know, Fleck has heard it, obviously. And Fleck had that comment of this is a good example. He had the comment Saturday after the game. This is a good example of culture over skill. And that was an insult. I mean, that's an insult to Frost and Frost's program. And sort of, as Jim Suhan of the Minneapolis Star Tribune pointed out, and he wrote a really good column, a post-game column, did Suhan. And he pointed out that Fleck somehow, as only P.J. Fleck can do, managed after a win to insult both the program they beat and his own program because PJ sticks his foot in his mouth a little too much. And he did, I mean, because he, in a sense, he demeaned the skill on his own team with that comment. And that's an odd take. So I don't know. I'm not anti PJ Fleck. I think I don't understand. I mean, you know, you rarely see coaches do that, though. I mean, very rarely, especially after a win, cutting down the other team. You know, that just that you don't see that very often. But on the other hand, Fleck has Nebraska's number. If it has become a little bit personal, if they circle Nebraska a little bit in red, like it seems to be the case, well, I mean, that's something else Nebraska has to deal with. And lately, I mean, guys, Minnesota's won the last three.
Mm. Sip, we got like a minute left. Just real quick, Tanner Morgan, we both saw it, looked at it, thought he was terrific. I have no idea who the running back was that did all the damage. I know they've been through a plethora of running backs with the Gophers pretty far down the depth chart, but this kid's good. And then Ottman Bell was Ottman Bell, and he burnt you repeatedly. So I guess Tanner Morgan, just your thoughts on a guy who's really had an up-and-down year.
Oh, yeah, not even really that up and down, mostly down. So I was shocked. I mean, I was bewildered, okay, when Tanner Morgan completed. I think he was 15 of 16 at one point, okay. Bewildered. I mean, he entered the game completing 52.2% of his passes. They didn't get pressure on him. He had a lot of time to throw, and I don't know what. I mean, Nebraska was in its base defense in the first half, and they just weren't giving Ottman Bell enough attention. And I think what Minnesota was doing was seeing Nebraska staying in its base, changing its plays, then Nebraska not changing up, not responding in kind. So they took advantage of it, and Ottman Bell had a big first half and a big game. Minnesota, I don't know what to say. They're all right. I will say this about them. They were the aggressor from the start.
Yeah,
if you just pull back from the micro elements of the game and just look at it on a very macro level, it was striking to me how better prepared Minnesota seemed to be from that standpoint. Like the want-to was much, it seemed much higher. Now you could come back and say, if Minnesota had a bye, they were coming off a bye week. Nebraska was coming off a grueling stretch. I get that. I mean, I understand that. But those kind of conversations they don't apply to the good teams, right? You never hear Ohio State guys saying, well, but Team X was coming off a bye and we were a little flat because we had a tough. No, you don't. That kind of stuff is. That's for mediocre programs to talk about. And right now, Nebraska is a mediocre program.
Sip, we're out of time, my friend. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy the bye week. Appreciate you coming on. Thank you, Stephen M.
Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Stephen M. Sipple, Lincoln Journal Star, 1045.
Gophers have won three in a row.
Yeah.
Four of the last five. And how about this from Cam Taylor Britt? Said after the game, realized when they woke up in the morning that the guys weren't up.
Really?
That's one of your captains saying that.
Holy mackerel, that's damning. Lee Sterling next, Miller and Condon, 1460 KXNO and 106.
2020 expenditure.
Back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. Getting to Lee Sterling a couple of minutes late here, Lee. We apologize for that.
No problem.
Let's get right into your slate of games because I want to save some time to talk about that 10-day combo package that you're going to introduce to our audience. Trent, you ready to go?
I am, yeah, ready to go here, Lee, as we look at the crazy slate of games here in front of us this week. Let's get into it here. Game number one, Ohio State, Indiana. Buckeyes a year ago struggled with the Hoosiers. This is a different Indiana team, and the point spread says as much. Buckeyes favored by 20.
Yeah, and Indiana gave a spirited effort last week versus Michigan State, but another three turnovers. And how about this? Jack Tuttle, 52 pass attempts. You're going to throw the ball 52 times. You're going to end up with 350, 400 yards. Two for just 188 passing yards. Talk about check down Charlie there. The Buckeyes' defense is fresh. Their only loss this year, they give up 612 total yards against a team, Oregon, that was ready for them. I think they're looking to gain confidence before they start that tough stretch here. The Hoosiers are 8-2 against the spread in the last 10 in this series. Not this year. Ohio State in a romper room special, 52-17.
Another big number here. Michigan gives 23.5 to Northwestern, who's really struggling.
They are, but I do like the move to Ryan Helinski. I mean, I thought that that it, the move should have taken place before the year started, or at least by game two. But the former South Carolina quarterback, he did throw for 267 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. But most importantly, he didn't throw an interception in that game or his other two starts. So, you know, their turnovers have hurt them. That's why they fell behind early in a couple of those games, especially Michigan State. Michigan D, I don't know if they're wearing down, but, you know, people are starting to figure them out. Nebraska put up 431 total yards and 29 points in the last game. Rutgers had more yards and 6 more first downs. Do you really want to lay that many points to a team, the Wildcats, at 16-4 against the spread as a road dog? I don't. I think Michigan might be peeking ahead to next week. Michigan 34-20, Wildcats cover.
Going with Northwestern in the cover, biggest game in our state, maybe the biggest game in the country this week, is in Ames, where Iowa State welcomes in Oklahoma State. The Cowboys, ranked number 8 yet. Here's Iowa State favored by a touchdown. What do you see with the Cyclones and Cowboys?
Well, when you see that the non-ranked team, they're favored in a game versus a ranked opponent, especially a top 10, top 15 opponent. The cover's like, you know, like 64, 65% of the time the last decade. Yeah, Oklahoma State was impressive the last fourth quarter against Texas. But Texas's play calling was terrible. Bijan Robinson rushed for 135 yards on 21 carries. Just stop giving him the ball. I mean, I don't think Iowa State's going to do that with Breece Hall here. Finally clicking, 197 yards rushing last week and 2 touchdowns here. Jaylen Warren is the bell cow for Oklahoma State, but their passing game is inconsistent, turnover prone here. I'm not falling for the trap. Cyclones 31-21.
Let's go to the NFL. A AFC North game has got a lot of people's attention. Cincinnati's on the come, Lee Sterling. I'm convinced of that. Baltimore is already there, and they're a 6.5-point favorite.
Yeah, it's good we can, you know, take a look at some teams that we don't normally talk about. Give Cincinnati credit. They've upgraded their offensive and defensive lines, but Baltimore's on a different level. And I like the changes that Baltimore makes. They make changes each game. They come up with some new plays. On defense, what did they do? They found the Queen was having trouble in coverage, so they've limited him on their third down packages on defense. They found that one of their boundary corners was having trouble, so they moved him to the short side almost every play. This coaching staff really good, also in-game making changes here, and they won last year's meetings 27-3 and 38-3. So I think Cincinnati will probably gain 75, 80 yards rushing, and Baltimore will gain 150 to 200. When that happens, you're going to win a lot of games here. I like Baltimore 28-17.
Going with Baltimore, we finish it up in the NFL with, if you like offense, this is the game for you, Chiefs-Titans.
Derrick Henry should run for 150 to 200 yards in this game. Mm-hmm. The reason I just can't come behind Tennessee is I think they played their A game on Monday night. And think that Kansas City just had some bad breaks. Bunch of balls have gone through receivers' hands that most of the time go incomplete, have been intercepted. So I think Henry will have a big game. They'll probably score 27 to 30 points. But Tennessee's secondary is awful. So they had every break go their way in the game last weekend. I just think Hill and Kelce just keep rolling on here. And Patrick Mahomes, who's thrown just 11 interceptions the last two seasons combined, who has 8 interceptions this year, think he's going to start having some clean games here. And the Titans also on offense. What concerns me is they've given up 20 sacks here. I like Kansas City, 38-28.
Yeah, statistically, look at the standings, and Kansas City's last in the AFC West. Tied, granted, but the tiebreaker goes the other way. Anyways, let's get to your game of the week. It is a Big 12 affair. K-State coming off a loss. Trent said they've lost 8 in a row in the conference. Texas Tech, don't know what to make of the Red Raiders. They are slight favorites, so if the folks want any more information on that, as well as your 10-day combo pack, which includes all sports, Lee, why don't you talk about those?
Yeah, most people haven't figured this game out. I think I've got a line on this game. You want to get for free, call 800-400-9741. And last year we did this combo pack, and it's a rare time for like 3 weeks where all 5 sports are going on. Football, which we were number one maybe in the world last year in football, have another great year this year. We're off a big Sunday night win, big Monday night win, big win last night. All 3 underdogs were App State, pulled off the upset. So you want to come on board, you can get all my football for 10 days. Baseball playoffs, next 10 days. Hockey, number one in the world last year. No one was even close to us. And baseball at covers.com, where we sell our picks also, we're literally in second place now for the entire season. We're on a 10-1 run in baseball. And then also UFC. So how do you jump on board? All five sports, 10 days. You're going to get probably 75 to 85 selections, normally $397, $100 bill. That's right, $100 for 10 days, ParamountSports.com.
Talk to you in a week, Lee Sterling. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Good to talk to you. Lee Sterling, ParamountSports.com. Well, we're going to change gears. College basketball season is quickly approaching. We're talking about the Big Four with our friend Kevin Lehman, who covers them all throughout the season. In his role as a college basketball analyst for various networks, he'll be with us at 11:05. And then Bill Bender from the Sporting News. Miller and Condon are on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.